Welcome to the weekly podcast from Christ Community Church. If you would like more information about this podcast or Christ Community Church, please visit our webpage at www.gochristcommunity.com. Blessings and enjoy the sermon.
First of all, I would like to thank you for the privilege of bringing God's Word. Last time I was here, I felt a real freedom to preach, and you would think, well, why is that unusual? Well, kind of is sometimes. Sometimes you have the opportunity to preach and the freedom kind of isn't there. And usually I'm a little more casual, but today I wanted to simply because I could. And then I found out that, today I'm doing double duty because I, 2 o'clock, I preach at once a month at Highland Manor in the apartment housing section. And they're celebrating their 5th year of having services there. And that's neat. You know, there's a lot of people who volunteer to make that happen. And so that's going to be a celebration. But today, I've had people say, I've been looking forward to you being here. I hope you prayed so God doesn't disappoint you. And before I forget, regarding the prayer that we just had, if there's any way that I can help, go pray. If you've got somebody that you need to go see and need somebody to go with you, Marty's got my number. There's some others that got my number. Give me a call. I'll be happy to. We're all servants of the living God. The scripture I chose for today is Matthew 13, verses 44 and 45. Matthew 13, 44 and 45. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure buried in a field that a man found, and reburied. Then in his joy he goes and sells everything he has and buys the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. When he found one priceless pearl, he went and sold everything he had and bought it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you. Thank you for the Holy Spirit and your word. And Heavenly Father, we all come before you as your servant, and let your will be done in all of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to talk today about the kingdom, because I feel it's important. Matter of fact, I wish somebody had set me down maybe 40 years ago or so, or there was more sermons on the kingdom, because it's very important. This is a trick question, and you don't have to stand up or raise your hand, but how many of you are trying to be a Christian? If I ask for a show of hands, there might be quite a few. It's a trick question because you can't try to become a Christian. Jesus said you must be born again. You don't become a Christian by trying. You will never, ever make it. You become a Christian by being born again. That is the only way. And when you're born again, you know, we understand birth. We understand what happens, that we have a home for 9 months, and then we leave this home and go into the world. Sometime later, much to our shock sometimes. But rebirth, the second birth is like that also. There are things that happen. There is the working of the Holy Spirit upon somebody. And the Word is revealed to them and all of these other things. Corrie Ten Boom, I think, maybe I'm a little mistaken sometimes, but she became a Christian simply by all of her reading and little pieces of scripture that she had, that she read in books. It wasn't the Bible, but it was little pieces that God kept giving her in planting the seed and watering it and all those other things. And she got to know Jesus as her Lord and Savior. So when the Holy Spirit works and we surrender to the call to be part of God's kingdom or part of His family, we are born again. Being born again is not the end of something. It is the beginning of something. It is the beginning of the membership in the kingdom of God. So when people say, "I'm trying to be a Christian," I don't think we should say that. We should say, "I'm learning to be a Christian," or "I'm growing as a Christian" would probably be better. I've taken several oaths in my life. When I went in the service, when I became a cop, when I was sworn into city council, you take an oath. What makes somebody a member of God's armed forces? What makes you a soldier? The uniform? Carrying a gun? No. While you're still in civilian clothes and they've probed your body to make sure you're healthy enough to take the oath, you swear allegiance to the United States of America and its Constitution and to all and against all foreign, enemies, foreign and domestic. That makes you a soldier. Then they send you to basic training. And after that training, then you get trained in something else, and you get trained in something else. And if you want to go up in rank and make more pay, you keep going. It is the oath. It is the being born again that makes you part of the kingdom of God. It's not because you teach Sunday school or because you do all this. That you do because of love. You don't do it because you're trying to gain God's favor. You already have it because you surrendered. You said, "Yes, I'm a sinner, and I accept you, Lord, as my Savior and my Lord. I give you my life, basically. And I'll do what you want me to do." Because Scripture tells us that there are those who come to Christ and they say, "Lord, didn't we cast out demons in your name? And didn't we do this? And didn't we do that? And didn't we do this other thing?" And Jesus said, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, because I never knew you." And you say, "How can that be?" When you read Jeremiah in his message to Judah, he tells them, "You're going to go into captivity." And the message that God gives Jeremiah, I believe, I read through the Bible every year, and I like the chronological order. But in chronological order, sometimes you get three different prophets because they were alive at that time and what they say. So if it's not Jeremiah, it's one of the other prophets that lived during his time. So God says, "I wanted to destroy you a long time ago because you were disobedient. But I didn't for the honor of my name." Okay, so God, for the honor of his name, upholds his word. I know of a lady, she's with the Lord right now. She, part of her testimony was she led people to Christ while she was lost. You say, how can that be? Because the word is powerful. The word brings one. It's not about me. It's this word that does it. When you bring the word, things happen. God has his power. And things are done in his name, and for the honor of his name, he honors that. It wasn't because the children of Israel were so obedient. They were God's chosen people, and he honored that by not taking them out. Remember Moses when they built the calf? When he was up on the mountain, Moses prayed, God, don't destroy this people, because God said, you know, Moses, I'll take you and start over. And I think that was a test for Moses, actually, because Moses said, no, Lord, because of your name. Because you said, I'm going to free these people, and you're going to lose a lot of credibility and everything if you just take these people out of Egypt in the way that you did and then destroy them. You see, being part of the kingdom, things happen. We go from darkness to light. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. Things begin to make sense. We go from slavery to freedom. We go from condemnation to righteousness. We go from the domain of Satan into the domain of the living God. And we learn the rest of life when we're born again is learning how to live in that kingdom. Because when the Lord comes again and we actually leave, the kingdom is with us because the Holy Spirit is here and God is here. You see, prior to that time, they looked as God as somewhere far off, and he didn't care about humanity or civilization. He was just out there letting the world do its thing, and he's not. He's very involved in the world. And he knew we would all be here before there was one. Can't fathom that, but he did. He does. So when we enter, we learn how to live within that kingdom, and that is the life challenge. That is the treasure hidden in the field. We find it and we say, this is awesome. And the more we look into it, the more we're in the Word and the more we pray and the more we fellowship together and uplift one another and all of those other things. That the treasure becomes just beyond measure. And Jesus, when he spoke these words, the people understood exactly what he was talking about. Because the bank of that time was to go and bury what you had in valuables in the backyard or out in the field. The area where they lived is some of the most fought over land in history. So you never knew when your backyard was going to become a battlefield. So if you thought the battle was coming, you just took your treasure out and you hid it in the field and you took off and you hope you could come back to it someday. So this guy is out in the just living his life and doing his job or whatever, and he finds a treasure. And he wasn't wrong, because while they were under Roman rule, they were allowed to use Jewish law from day-to-day life. And the rabbis had said, if you go find something somewhere, it's yours. So it was his, but he went and sold everything he had so he could have that treasure. The pearl of great price, same thing. The difference between these two illustrations is that the first person was just out there living life. Going to work, doing his thing, being diligent. He was a good guy, upstanding member of the community and all that stuff. And he's out there doing his thing, and he stumbles across this treasure. So he just gets rid of everything to have the treasure. And he found out that he was richer than he ever thought. I've been there when you spend your last little bit to go to the store and get milk and something else to get you through to payday, and when you come home, the money's gone. But you've got something to eat. And God always provides. But yet, at the same time, because you've been born again and you're living in the kingdom and you begin to understand the kingdom, you have that feeling of, man, I am just tapped out right now buying this milk and the few groceries to get us through to payday. And at the same time, you feel you could just take out the checkbook or grab your credit card and buy the whole world. Because you're in the kingdom and you understand its riches, you understand its glory, you understand its limitlessness, you understand the love that the Father sent the Son through in order to get you into that kingdom. It becomes very precious, and I'll do anything I can to be there. Pearls were just considered such a beautiful thing. And they are when you just look at them. And it's amazing how they're formed, right? The awesomeness of it all, in God, in his plan, is why are they perfectly round? How come they're just not odd shapes? They wouldn't be as valuable. They wouldn't be as pretty. I don't know. God, in his design, made them that way. And it's, you think of the intricacies and that God, in his plan, just, it's there and it's beautiful. So if we're a member of the kingdom, then we find that sometimes God just, you know, knocks on the door and says, hey, I want to talk. You know, you have some aims and some ambitions that maybe you need to change because you said that you would give up everything for the kingdom. Maybe there's some lifestyles and habits that we need to abandon. When I was in the Air Force Station, Travis Air Force Base, I was raised Lutheran. And one night in the evening service, Jim Rodham was also in the Air Force. He came over to me. He says, Dennis, I need to talk to you. Are you a Christian? I've gone to church all my life. Knew all the Bible stories and everything. And I said, yeah. And he says, what is a Christian? I knew I was in trouble because I didn't have the answer. I thought I was something, but I didn't have the answer. And so he showed me some scriptures and he said, Tuesday night, why don't you come over to my house? I don't know if it was Tuesday or Thursday or what, but right now I've got it written in front of another Bible. But that night, I made an altar out of his couch, and I was born again. And the awesomeness of the kingdom just keeps growing. You see, everything you look for in life goes downhill. It doesn't matter if you've got the number one hit record. It doesn't matter if you're the number one sports jock or whatever. Or whatever the title, Miss America, whatever the title may be. Everything goes downhill. As we get older, I can't do the stuff I did 10 years ago. The body goes downhill. In the kingdom, it's just the opposite. The treasure you laid up doesn't get burned away. It doesn't rust away. It doesn't disappear because of the economy takes a dump or nothing. It just stays there and grows and grows and grows. And God gets dearer and sweeter, and the relationship is more and everything else. So if we are members of the kingdom, then we also just, God says, you've changed some habits and some lifestyle, but now I need you to pick up some habits and a different lifestyle. The lifestyle of self denial and discipline. When you boil it down, life is all about discipline, isn't it? It is. Doing the right thing. And the thing of it is you gotta admit you're not going to do it perfectly from the very beginning. Because we have two natures. We have the old nature. When we're born again, we have a new nature. And the battle throughout that, until this body is laid down, the battle is that the new nature always dominates the old nature. But sometimes a strong point in the old nature lines up with a weak point in the new nature, and we goof. That is a given. It's going to happen. The glory of it all is God knows that and loves us anyway. You see, he was tempted in every way that we are tempted, so he understands. Does he wish that we didn't go there? Oh, yes. But we're going to. God, knowing that Adam and Eve were going to sin, made human beings anyway. But he had a plan to redeem them. And everything in the earth, we can't put our stock there because everything in the earth is going to disappear. That's shouting ground. The enemy is defeated because of the resurrection. He has not been put in his place yet, but he's defeated. And when he is put in his place, the earth is going to be destroyed because God wants his bride to be in a place that is above spot and blemish. There's not going to be anything in heaven that reminds us of sin. The scars in Christ will remind us of his glory and the price he paid, and we will rejoice in them. Who is it? Gaithers have a song, "I Will Glory in the Cross." It is an ugly, grotesque way to die. But we glory in it because it's that that gets us into the kingdom. And personally, that's the battle. Understanding more of the kingdom and living in it rather than living being wrapped up in the world. Be in the world, but not of the world. That close walk with Christ. That's why God put us together. To uplift one another, to carry one another's burdens, to pray. See, part of the kingdom is prayer. That is a treasure. It's a pearl of great price. We know that prayer has power, but we have a real fight to get, it seems, in order to pray, don't we? And I don't know, I think the devil comes along and says, you sure you want to go before the throne of grace? God may have to talk to you about this thing, and he'll bring up something from the past, but the reality of it is God doesn't remember it because it's taken away by the blood of Christ. You know, and sometimes when Satan comes after you, you just need to ask God, is I'm a little upset right now. Do you have anything you want to talk to me about? Satan's trying to bug me about this. Are you want to bug me about that? If not, Lord, I need your peace, and God will give you peace. And sometimes we say, I don't know what to do. Ask him, he'll tell you. Scripture says that if you've got to make, you know, if you want to really make good decisions and they're kind of life-changing, seek out five godly people. Well, I always use five. Seek out five godly people, and you don't tell them you're going to the others. You just go to them and say, this is my situation. What do you think I should do? Every time I have done that, all five were in agreement and gave me the same advice. And I took it as God telling me, brother, you better go ahead. I don't know what more to tell you. You know, from many counselors comes much wisdom. And if you don't go forward from there, God's discipline is coming, let me tell you, because he loves you. And the reason he wants you to go forward is you're going to understand more of the kingdom. You'll understand more of your inheritance. You understand more to tap into that I can simply use for his glory. And when you take a look at the parable of the talents, what is your reward for doing a good job with what God gives you? More responsibility and more to be over. The parable of the talents is, there's many lessons in there, but that one to me is, if you're responsible in this, well done, good and faithful servant. If you're responsible for this, well done. I'm going to make you responsible for this. You know? So the time for rejoicing, we can say in this life, is when we get to heaven and sit around the throne. The time to relax is not now. Because we need to remember that in the kingdom that we are part of, we are at war. And if you don't think so, all you got to do is go to some places that tell you the truth. There's a young lady in New England suing, high school student, suing because she is a track star, or was, because the rules where she is were changed. If a boy identifies himself as a girl, he can go out for girls' track. So the girls now that were in first place are replaced by boys who identify themselves as a girl. A number of years ago, I had the awesome privilege to go to Burkina Faso, Africa, on a mission trip, and it was just to do evangelism. I read an article this week that in one village in Burkina Faso, and the unrest was brewing while we were there. We were going to go back in 2 years, but it became so unsafe that that was not possible. 19 Christians were killed by Muslims. And the information that the person who wrote the article got was there were no Christians left in the village. And that if you hid one, they would kill you and your family. But on the other hand, the kingdom of God is drawing some of those people, the Muslims, because they are sick of the bloodshed and they're turning to Christ. So you see, as being members of the kingdom, we have a great responsibility, we have a great privilege. The responsibility is to find out more about living in the kingdom and to pray for our own country. Number one, for God's glory. Like somebody said on the radio the other day, don't pray into sin, pray into praise. First of all, praise God. If you got something to confess, then confess it. But give God his glory to begin with. And I think that Scripture says we are to praise him no matter what. And quite frankly, I think I was sitting with the where the lady with the hat on and the long hair was sitting several months ago. And my back was so bad I couldn't walk hardly. But I remember sitting there in that service during the time of worship and praise and saying, Lord, I'm yours. You're awesome, whether you heal me or not. I will praise you. Because the benefits of the kingdom were still beyond measure. God saw fit. I'm gonna tell you, after I preached here last time, and Brother Herman prayed for me, I've been doing inversion for quite a while, but I went home that Sunday and did my inversion late in the afternoon. There was a pop in my lower back that was, I can't explain it or describe it, but ever since then, it's been uphill, not downhill. Thank you for giving God the glory. Brothers and sisters, we are members. It's not just that we have salvation. We are subjects in the kingdom of the greatest, richest, lovingless, merciful God in the universe. And we get the pleasure of helping each other walk in it. Let's give God the glory for the pleasure.